last few months, it's been a more of a stressful season for my personal family. My dad passed, mom got cancer, mom fell, broke her pelvis. We are caring for them. And what's great about Crossbridge is that the only man we worship at Crossbridge is Jesus. And so when I'm going through a season, like many of you will, in caring for parents that are older and whatever situation might hit you, we have elders and pastors who do exactly what the Bible says elders and pastors are supposed to do. They're able to step up and teach, and it gives me a break to care and take care of things in my family. And I'm grateful for your doing it. I'm going to be back in the saddle teaching, but we don't skip a beat because Kim and Jeff, they shepherd people at Crossbridge. So when Jeff steps up to bring the word, you can believe that God's going to speak a word through him to us for the sake of building us up. So as Jeff comes, let's hold out a hand of blessing to him, and let's just agree as I pray. Lord, we love you. We bless this friend, this leader, this elder of our church, God, that he would walk in the confidence that you will do exceedingly more than he could ever ask or imagine. And so, Lord, today we want to gather every bit of blessing that you have for us through Jeff. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Good morning. You awake this morning? You know, when Kirk sent me an email and asked if I would, I'm not promoting Starbucks, by the way. I just had to get tea, not coffee. Just wanted y'all to know that. You know, when Kirk emailed and asked if I would be willing to share the word this morning, I got excited, got nervous, and I responded with a yes. And then I had to pick up my stomach from the floor. And then got excited and had to pick up my stomach again. Have y'all ever been in that situation? But it really prompted me to begin to pray. Because my desire is that you really, I'm not interested in you seeing what Jeff can share today. My prayer is, Lord, would your word go forth in power? May it reveal your truth for the heart of your people this morning. And that's been my prayer. That's been the prayer of my family. The kids prayed for me this morning. So thankful. Greg prayed for me up here. Kirk right now. My prayer is that God's word would just be revealed to you this morning, that the truth of it would have its way. You know, the Bible says God watches over his word to perform it. And the really amazing thing to me is the Father knows everyone that's here this morning. The Bible says he even goes as far as saying he knows the number of hairs on your head. I know some may think, well, I have less than others. I could say I have more white than others. But he knows the number of hairs on your head. And Andrew, even your beard and mine. But that speaks intimacy to me about his love for us. So it's not by accident that you're here this morning. I pray that you would open up your heart and respond how God would have you to respond by the Holy Spirit. We're going to have a video here, and then I will pray. So let's watch the video if we can. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. I thank you for each person that is here. Lord, would you just have your way today? We are inviting you. We're asking you to be Lord in our midst. We're asking you to speak to our hearts. We're asking you to reveal truth. Father, we bless your name. We love you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So the setting here was, you know, Lazarus had just died prior to chapter 12. And we see that Jesus shows up to Martha and Mary's and comforts them and raises Lazarus from the dead. They're probably sitting at Martha and Mary's house having dinner. And guess who's at the table with Jesus? Lazarus. What an amazing dinner time. And, you know, the religious leaders at the time were trying to find a way to kill Lazarus because he was drawing too much attention to Jesus. They were trying to figure out how they were going to deal with Jesus. Jesus had made his triumphant entry. People were shouting, Hosanna, laying palms down. And here we find ourselves in chapter 12, verse 24 and 26. Jesus is having this conversation. I can imagine someone almost on their deathbed just speaking some very meaningful words to those that matter to them. And here's Jesus with his disciples. And verse 24, truly, truly, I say unto you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it. Whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will be my servant also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. You know, I like to do word studies, and I got to watch it because I'll get wrapped around it. But there were three words that really stood out here to me, and I want to elaborate on them. I won't attempt to pronounce the first one. I may get Sean to help me later, or if you want to know how to pronounce it, Sean can probably help us. But the first word is dies, to die off from the ending of what is former. This reminds me of 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is passed away, and behold, the new has come. And then the other word is hates. And many times we can think of the word hate as just being really negative. How many times have you read in Scripture where it says, if you don't hate father and mother, and you're like, well, wait a minute, God, you didn't call me to hate father and mother. Well, it's interesting. The Greek word here is miso. I will say this one. And it means to detest, to hence, to denounce, to love someone or something less than someone or something else. Renounce one's choice in favor of another. The same Greek word was used in Luke 14:26. If anyone comes to me and does not miso or hate his own father and mother and wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And then the last word is follow. And this is to follow one who proceeds, join him as an attendant or accompany him, simply a disciple. You kind of get the picture about death here? So as I was preparing for this message, you know, it was probably a few days after, the Lord woke me up probably around 4 a.m. and gave me the outline for today. So I immediately got up and went to my office and typed out the outline for today. And really, the sense of the message for today is that God is calling us higher, okay? And the first thing that we have it from to talk through is, I felt like the Lord was saying, are you willing to lay down your identity? You know, as a nation, we're going through an identity crisis. How many of us have experienced challenges with our identities because of a broken home, because of a negative situation we've encountered in life, because words that people have spoken over us? This is why we have freedom prayer. Such a great opportunity to come together with others and wait on Jesus and see what the Holy Spirit would speak to us about our identity. But in this case, the Lord was saying, Jeff, are you willing to lay your identity down to assume his? And we may ask, what does this look like? How do we lay our identities down? simply be willing to die. This sounds so unreasonable in a culture that's all about fulfilling our wants and our desires, right? Everywhere we turn, we have easy access to anything we want quickly. The second thing is setting our minds on things that are above. Colossians 3, there's several verses in here. Verse 1, set your mind on things that are above, not on things of this world. And put on the new self, which is being renewed into knowledge after the image of its creator. Let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. And then Romans 12, 1 through 3, God is always calling us higher. So how do we position ourselves in terms of submitting our identity to him? Romans 12, 1, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service. Then we will be able to prove what is the perfect and acceptable will of God. So I want to be a little personal with you here today, if that's okay. Can we do church today? Is it okay? Okay, three of y'all said yes. We have a busy life. We have a lot going on. And this last year, I feel like the Lord really had to arrest me. Doing a lot of good things. But I felt like he was tapping me on the shoulder and saying, Jeff, I really want you to focus on God things. And, you know, I have the privilege of working from home. The downside of that is you could come down in your PJs and get on your computer and work at all hours of the night. us men tend to be those that want to solve problems, want to resolve things. We want to work. We want to accomplish. Maybe there's some ladies as well. And I came to the place where I felt like I just needed to stop. I needed to pause. And so what I did in my home office is I took my little garden knee pad, a gardening pad. You familiar with those little short ones you kind of kneel down on? And I felt like the place Jeff needs to be is on the floor. Okay? Desperation, crying out for more of the Lord, working through areas in my life. I knew that there may be a struggle. Jesus didn't have full control. I just wanted him to have more. Well, I grabbed that gardening pad, and I resolved to placing that on the floor, and that was my new place in my office before I would get started in the day. And I would turn on some worship music and just sit there in the presence of the Lord and allow him to rearrange things in my identity that needed to be rearranged. Work in areas that needed to be worked. Speak truth in areas that maybe truth did not have permission. Allow him to rearrange my identity. I kind of liken it to a vehicle. How many of y'all have driven a vehicle that's not aligned? What happens? We hit bumps in life. We hit curbs. And they misalign us. And, you know, this season of waiting on the Lord and allowing him to work on my identity, I see the Lord just bringing alignment in certain areas. And so this whole notion of laying our identities down, I don't know what it looks like for you, but that's a little of what it has looked like for me. The second thing, well, before I go there, I like what A.W. Tozier shares, and I think we have it up here, is unless a person comes to Christ seeking to be a different person, he's not coming to Christ at all. And I don't take that statement lightly. I'm a believer since the age of 15. I'm 51. I'll let you do the math. It's easy to get comfortable in our walk. It's easy to come to the place where, God, I've done my duty. I've come to church. I brought my kids to church. I'm faithful to my wife. I provide. I'm done. And, you know, God is constantly calling us up higher. Because he's a good father and he desires relationship with his people. And so this saying by A.W. Tozier really goes a lot deeper than we could read it here. So the question we would ask, is there anything about our identity the Father may be asking us to lay down today? I realize this can be a difficult subject because of wounds, because of hurts, because of failures, because of words spoken over you. But you need to know this morning that the Father wants to speak truth into your identity. He wants to speak truth into who you are as a son, as a daughter. That's very real for me. I didn't have a father around. Grew up without a father. And he's had to work through being a good father to me. I've had to give him permission to speak truth on what it is to be a father, what it is to be a son, to know there's a loving father out there. So what might the Lord be wanting to speak into your identity today? Maybe it's something that the enemy would want to just continue to hold over your life. Know that the Father wants to speak truth today to you about your identity. The second point that I feel like the Lord gave me is, are we willing to go where he leads? And in parentheses, I indicated here to act in accordance or be willing to be engaged in the moment that we find ourselves promoting the kingdom of God. You know, one of the reasons Kim and I and our family have been at Crossbridge for 10 years is because the moment we walked in, we realized this church was engaged. They had a pastor that had a vision for the church, for the city, for the nation, for the nations. And this church is very engaged, to which we're incredibly thankful to be part of. But many times I think it's easy for us to get skewed in thinking, well, I'm not called to be a full-time pastor. I'm not a full-time evangelist. I don't see myself as a prophet. I'm not a full-time teacher. What we're talking about here today is the body of Christ representing the kingdom of God wherever he would have us. I shared the story in the first service. Kim and I try to do a breakfast date once a week. We snuck out to a little restaurant this past week. Excuse me. I was supposed to mute it out, so I apologize. And a young lady by the name of Devi was our server. Not Debbie, but Devi. I had to say that a couple times with her to get her name straight. And at some point, she was just doing such a great job, and I felt like I was to encourage her. And I just began to look at Devi and say, you know, Devi, God has good things for you. He doesn't want you to settle in life for anything less than his best. You're valuable to him. And it was Kim and I looked at each other, and it was amazing because she came back and said, you know, I just came out of a bad relationship. Well, we can only imagine what bad relationships look like. And I thought, how awesome are you, Holy Spirit? You placed us here this morning. You had us having a date this morning so we could speak to Devi. So what I'm talking about is we are representatives of the kingdom of God. And the Lord wants to use us wherever we find ourselves. You may not be in Rwanda. You may not be in Romania. But guess what? You're at the HEB. You're in your neighborhood. You're in your workplace. And God wants to use you where you're at. And so, are we willing to represent the kingdom in such a way that his kingdom is, or represent the Lord in such a way that his kingdom would be manifested in our places? I remember, just looking over my notes to see exactly what I'll cover here, but you know, we talk about the go. I remember I worked at Clear Channel years ago, and I was driving from, we live out by Helotes, and traffic. So I have a good time to pray. And so I was praying on my way to work, and I was saying, Lord, would you, I felt like the Lord said to ask for the nations. Remember, we're talking about going. And as I was praying that, I was almost kind of looking at myself saying, the nations? You live in San Antonio, Jeff. What? That doesn't make sense. But how many of y'all know when the Holy Spirit births something in you, it will almost always exceed first, you know, what you are capable of doing first. Secondly, it'll exceed anything that you can probably ever even afford as well. It'll exceed every boundary you can imagine. And he was reminding me as I was preparing for this message about that prayer. And I think, you know, our son Daniel has been to Germany. I was laid off from Clear Channel because of just changes going on. The company I joined, I never thought I would join because it was outside of the skill that I normally was involved with, but God totally ordained that job. And all nine of the Gonzaleses had the opportunity to go to Rwanda. And I thought even that was a challenge to think about going, because the first thing I thought about, Lord, I don't have 40,000 hanging on the trees in the backyard. I don't. Kim will tell you, I had to come out of my home office several times and say, honey, is God in this? You know, and Kim's an amazing woman. She says, let's do it. Sure. Yeah. And, you know, we stepped out. 40,000 was nothing to the Lord. We were able to go. And even before going, Ebola, I believe, was breaking out on the east coast of Africa. I was getting phone calls from family members saying, you sure you want to go? And, you know, every thought you can imagine came up. And I remember specifically, again, we're talking about the go. We were driving. How many of y'all remember the silver van we used to drive, the 15-passenger? We called it the Silver Streak, the Gonzalez Silver Streak. I was pulling in right here, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, perfect love casts out fear. And I was dealing with a lot of fears. I'm thinking my kids. I'm just, every thought you can imagine had come to mind. And he said, perfect love casts out fear. And then he said, I'm love. And I thought, wait a minute. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords just reminded me that I should fear not. And, you know, we did the trip and it was amazing. I had a lot more peace and God showed up in the go. Like Jim Elliot, the missionary to the Indians in Ecuador, who was murdered, he said, he's no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And the question we want to ask this morning, is there anything that's keeping us from the go? How might the Lord want to speak in that area of our lives? Now, I realize in this room, there's some people that are called to go. Some people are called to go in this room. There's pastors, there's teachers, there's prophets, evangelists in this room. And some in this room, God is saying, I want to expand your influence in your oikos. I want to move in ways that would surprise you in your oikos for those of us that are not called to go into the field, if you would. So I want to go to the last point, if I can here, and see if we can camp here for a few minutes. But willing to do what he did. You know, in order to do what Jesus did, we must understand the importance of being positioned the way Jesus was. You know, you read the scripture many times, Jesus said he dismissed himself from the crowd. What was he doing? He was avoiding the fame and the positioning that others were trying to place him to stay in touch with the will of the Father. Remember, he was human. He set the example for us. He dismissed himself regularly. And I remember I was driving to lead men's prayer at a church we were part of years ago, and I was praying that morning saying, Lord, what is the theme for this morning? What is it that you're wanting to encourage the men with? And he said, about being positioned well. Well, I'm a former tennis player when I was around that size, and I know you thought I was a running back or a linebacker, but I was a tennis player when I was that thin. And the Lord took me back to the tennis days. And the tennis pros that coached me always reminded me about the importance of being positioned well. Okay? If you're not positioned well, you'll not execute well in delivering the shot that you need to in the place that you want, the winning shot. And I was a power tennis player, so I was all about the shot. I didn't want to sit out there and rally for minutes. I wanted to get it over with. And, you know, if we're going to do the works of God, we have to be positioned well and seeing what Jesus is doing. And I want to read a verse here, a couple of verses actually, John 5:19. First, we must see what the Father is doing. In John 5:19, it says, Jesus gave them this answer. Verily, verily, I tell you, the Son can do nothing of himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does. In order to see, I would think of this implies relationship, partnership. This is why I believe the Lord has just said, Jeff, I think it's really good for you to be in that place on the floor on that little cushion and just submitting to me in such a way where I can speak to you, because you're too busy. You don't ever stop and listen. My wife would say amen to that. And so being positioned, the Lord's just been reminding me, I'm not interested in your doing. I'm interested in your being. Soak that one in if you would. I think many times we need the rest from the doing and say, Father, help me see what you're doing because I want to partner with you. As Kirk's been teaching, the Father loves to include us in what he's doing. But many times if we're not seeing what he's doing, then we attach ourselves to good things. It's the good things that wear us out in life. You know, going back 12 months, I had to pause. Again, it felt like the Lord had to arrest me to say, pause. You're involved in a lot of good things, Jeff. But let's talk about the God things. And the God things for me are sitting in the floor, sitting in his presence, and being a literal mess, crying before him, saying, Lord, have your way. And by the way, it's okay to cry. It's okay to let your dignity down, if you would. The Lord loves brokenness. That's where he has permission to work. So what does some of this kingdom activity look like? I mean, we saw that Jesus demonstrated this, but look at Luke 4:18. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are oppressed. Acts 10:38, so how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Who lives inside of us? Help me out. The Holy Spirit. Has he changed? Has the things of this world changed in terms of the oppression that lives and occurs in the lives of people? Absolutely not. Is there still a need for the works that Jesus did to be done today by his church? Proclaiming the gospel, praying for the sick. I was sharing in the first service, does it mean that every time you pray for someone that's sick, they're going to get healed? Absolutely not. I wish I could say it was yes. But we should never stop reaching out in faith, believing God for healing. Because I've seen people be healed just as I've seen people not. I've seen people that have been oppressed that we prayed for and God bring deliverance to them and freedom and healing. And others, we didn't experience a breakthrough, but we don't stop pressing in to be carriers of the kingdom of God in our oikos or wherever we find ourselves. Amen? Now I realize for some of us who might think, I'm not qualified to pray. Who am I? Again, as we position ourselves to be with Jesus, the Holy Spirit begins to empower us to have confidence and boldness. We see this throughout the book of Acts, right? Confidence to pray for someone, to believe with them. The early church was known for turning the world upside down. I begin to ask the question, well, how did they turn it upside down? They prayed. They devoted themselves to the Word of God. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. I think of a group in the Czech Republic, the Moravians, I don't know if I said it right, in the 1700s, they started a prayer movement. They were a community of believers. That prayer movement lasted 100 years. They positioned themselves. You know, out of that group, 300 missionaries were sent all over the world. And actually, there's still movements going on today of the prayer movement. Again, we're talking about being positioned well. Let's move away from doing and focus on being. Again, we talked about the Word, the Holy Spirit, and prayer, all about being positioned well. You know, as we look in, they demonstrated the kingdom of God. Peter and John prayed for the crippled man who was healed, declaring, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. Okay? This really represents our relationship with Jesus. We can't give what we don't have. Okay? But as we're with Jesus, as we're with the King, he deposits into us inspiration, vision, passion, direction, and guidance. He leads you to restaurants to encourage a person by the name of Debbie. And he's calling us to demonstrate his kingdom wherever we go. We see in Acts 4, I like that the religious leaders realized that Peter and John were unschooled, ordinary men. They were astonished and took note that they had been with Jesus. See, people are watching. We're books to be read of all men. And the question that I have to ask is, am I demonstrating Jesus to the world? They took note that these guys had been with Jesus. So the question I ask is, what note are people taking about Jeff when I'm around them? In Acts 5, we see that they were bringing people that were sick and tormented by evil spirits. All of them were healed. Can you imagine the setting? I think Sean talked about chutzpah. Is that the right word, Sean? Chutzpah? And those friends brought that person to that service or prayer meeting, and they dropped them into the roof. Can you imagine if we had people lined up at the door saying, we want to hear about Jesus. Would y'all pray for us? This is the setting. Paul summed it up well in 1 Corinthians 2:14. He says, I didn't come to you preaching persuasion. Let me read it. I was going to had it memorized. But if my message and my preaching were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but demonstration of the Holy Spirit and his power. And, you know, we need to take the opportunity to say, Jesus, I want more of your Holy Spirit in my life. You know, my prayer the last 6 weeks has been, Lord, I'm not interested in my words. I'm more interested in your Holy Spirit moving in this service and speaking to the hearts of your people as you have been mine. And, you know, may we pray and say, Lord, I want more of the Holy Spirit. I need more of him. I want to read a few scriptures and we're going to kind of wrap up. I have a poem I want to read. If the worship team could come up, that would be great. John Wesley once said, if I had 300 men who feared nothing but God and hated nothing but sin and were determined to know nothing among men but Jesus Christ and him crucified, I would set the world on fire. What the world needs is us, the body of Christ, to be positioned at the feet of Jesus so that we are so filled with him that everywhere we go, we naturally demonstrate his kingdom and bring his kingdom to those places. And you know, as I've been listening to the sermons for the last 6-8 months, there's this sense of God's calling Crossbridge higher. You know, I go back to my tennis days. You know, the coaches were always there to say, you're doing a great job, but let's talk about what that next level looks. And, you know, as a body here, as a body of believers, what might it look like for us to position ourselves even in a greater way and say, Jesus, I want to surrender all. I'm willing to go deeper. I'm willing to really lay this identity thing down. I'm willing to go where you say to go. I'm willing to do what you say to do. Lord, even if I'm uncomfortable going and praying for that person, God wants us to, you know, as we lay our identities down, we won't worry about our reputation. Because it's fear of reputation. It's fear of rejection. But may we have the courage of the Holy Spirit to do what he calls us to do because we are in such a connection with him. We're spending that time with him. We're submitted to his voice. We're listening to what he's saying. We're seeing what he's doing. Is there anything keeping you from doing the works of God where you're at? I've had to work through embarrassment. I've had to work through fear of rejection. I've had to work through feeling like I didn't have the words to say. I want to read a poem here and we'll wrap up with this. If you can stand. The master was searching for a vessel to use. On the shelf there were many. Which one would he choose? Take me, cried the gold one. I'm shiny and bright. I'm of great value and I do things just right. My beauty and luster will outshine the rest. And for someone like you, master, gold would be best. The master passed on and no word at all. He looked at the silver urn, narrow and tall. I'll serve you, dear master. I'll pour out your wine. I'll be at your table whenever you dine. My lines are so graceful and my carving so true. And my silver will always compliment you. Unheeding, the master passed on to the brass. It was wide-mouthed and shallow, polished like glass. Hear, hear, cried the vessel. I know I will do. Place me on your table for all men to view. Look at me, cried the goblet of crystal so clear. My transparency shows my contents so dear. Though fragile am I will serve you with pride. And I'm sure I'll be happy in your house to abide. The master came next to the vessel of wood. Polished and carved, it solidly stood. You may use me, dear master, the wooden bowl said. But I'd rather you used me for fruit and not bread. Then the master looked down and saw a vessel of clay. Empty and broken, it helplessly lay. No hope had the vessel that the master might choose to cleanse and make whole, to fill and to use. Ah, this is the vessel I've been hoping to find. I will mend and use it and make it all mine. I need not a vessel with pride of itself, nor one who is narrow to sit on the shelf, nor one who is big mouthed and shallow and loud, nor one who displays his contents so proud. Not the one who thinks he can do all things just right, but this plain earthy vessel filled with my power and might. Then gently he lifted the vessel of clay, mended and cleansed it and filled it that day. Spoke to it kindly, there's work you must do. Just pour out to others and I will pour out to you. Let's take this moment. Let's lift our hands and say, Jesus, I surrender. I lay down my identity. Lord, I'm willing to go where you would want me to go. I'm willing to do what you would want me to do. I like the prayer of Mary when the angel visited her. She cried out and said, be it unto me as you have spoken. May that be our prayer today. Isaiah, here am I, send me. Father, I thank you for your word today. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just solidify your word to your people. I thank you for speaking truth in every area of our lives. In Jesus' name, let's just worship him for a minute and just connect with the Lord and let him speak to you and let's respond to him. My best, my all.